Tshuva, you should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva is prayer. We have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the right to tshuva. It isn't a license. It isn't something we deserve. The Rav had an even more important description of why tshuva is always described as lifnei hakel. Chayav lesvados lifnei hakel. Shiachta, the language of the Rambam, which has opened it, the language of the Rambam in the introduction, since we've been reading so much Rambam this week and so interested in the Rambam, is v'hu sheyashiv hachote mechato lifnei hashem. Basically, the Rav says, if you look in Tanakh, you'll see two different prepositions for chet. So, for example, when Yehuda is trying to convince Yaakov to dispatch Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, so he guarantees and he says, if I don't return him to you, anyone know the end of the pasuk? So typically, the preposition for chait is lecha. I will have affected you, I will have sinned to you, I will have betrayed you. The Rav felt that means that a sin impacts the victim. Yaakov here is the potential victim. The potential sin is Yehuda not returning with Binyamin. Vechatasi lecha. And in truth, our sin impacts HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, nothing impacts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it certainly impacts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. One of the things I'd like to see happen to you this year, I think it's a very important shift in modern Orthodox communities, is we're very, very attentive to whether we're increasing or decreasing Hashem's presence in the eyes of the Goyim and in the eyes of this world, and we're very, very attentive to Orla Goyim and how Jews are behaving. And sometimes we're less attentive to the fact that Hashem's Shechin on this world is a quotient. It's not just a product of how the world sees us, although it's that as well, but it's also every time you learn a Blat Gemara or perform a mitzvah, you're drawing Hashem into this world in ways that your eyes can't trace. It's not in the headlines. The New York Times is not going to say Nadav Heller was Mekayim Luluv today with a lot of Kavana, so Hashem's more present in the world. But if you're looking at the God index in this world, it's not just a product of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem and Ariel, how you behave when you go to Yankee Stadium and you pour popcorn in the guy next to you and they say, oh, he's wearing a... It's also mitzvahs, and you could be the language of Chazal is Docha Ragli Ashchina. Kala Over Aver Baseser, Docha Ragli Ashchina. Kala Lometar Ashchina Kinegdo. So if we're trying to draw Hashem into this world, there are two playing fields. It's like there are two games. Imagine, let's say they play two games. We're going to have two games, okay? We're going to have the Giants play the Cowboys and have two games on side-by-side fields. Okay, each game is going to count for a certain amount. There are two games. One is the field of public opinion. One is the field of metaphysical presence of Hashem. And together they create a quotient. They create an index of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So our chait does affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not him, Chas V'Shal, not his essence, but his presence in this world. Every time you sin, Hashem is less present in this world. Not in a way that the eyes can trace. There's a Rambam in the end of Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis. Hachote l'chaver omeis. So I don't know how many of you have been to Levayos, or that many Levayos, but the minute is when you go to a Levayah, you ask the meis for mechila. So the Chevra Kedisha normally asks the meis for mechila on behalf of everyone, but if you feel you've mistreated possibly the meis, you ask for mechila, because anybody know the l'chaver, if they ask for mechila, what happens if you miss it? What happens if you really hurt someone's feelings and chas v'shalom the person dies? Very spooky. Hachote l'chavero, meis chavero, kodem shivakesh mechila. Maybe asara b'nei adam, you bring 10 people, ma'midin al kivro, you stand by the kivr, v'yam rifneim chatasi l'ashem elokei Yisrael v'lefloni. I've sinned to this person, la ploni, l'cha, l'ploni, and you ask that person for mechila. I had a Rebbe in YU who told me a story that he once did this. He lived in the Lower East Side. Anyone here of the Lower East Side? If your grandparents told you, there was a Lower East Side where all the Jews used to live. And there was an older Jew who didn't have a lot of parnassa who would walk around selling eggs. Very often you have people that instead of asking for tzedakah, they'll sell things you don't need that's a cover story so they don't feel like they're taking tzedakah from you. There's a person who comes around a lunch for selling towels and linens and pillowcases and spirit. They always buy more linens and more linens. I remember in YU, there's a man who would come around selling gefilte fish jars and grape juice. Somehow he had some arrangement with Kedem and Manashevitz to get all the extras for, I guess, a cheap price. He'd go around, and what do Yeshiva Bacham need gefilte fish and grape juice for? Those little cans of pickled gefilte fish and grape juice. So he would all buy gefilte fish and grape juice, and by the end of the year, the back of the base medrash, the old base medrash, would be stacked with bottles of grape juice and staggering. Like anyone who was a gefilte fish addict would be like, it would be Disneyland for him. He'd walk in and just eat gefilte fish. What are you going to do with gefilte fish? He just buys. Anyway, so this guy would sell eggs. Everyone would buy eggs from him. One day my Rebbe told me that he thought that maybe this guy was an imposter, maybe his eggs were stale or something. So he really berated the guy. Like, why are you selling eggs? Why are you taking advantage of people? And then the guy walked out and disappeared down the block. And my rabbi said, oh my goodness, he was a little kid. I just hurt someone's feelings. I may never see him again. So he looked for him in the crowd and he couldn't find him. He heard a little bit later that the person died. So he said, I have to be behind this Rambam. So he took 10 people, he went to the kever, and he asked for mechila. So that story always haunted me. You always want to watch what you say. If I say something nasty to Rafi, okay, I could ask for mechila tonight. Okay, he seems like a pretty nice guy. I mean, maybe it's just a show, but okay, there's something nasty. Yeah, ask for mechila. There you go. Just did it. Okay, but also someone I don't know, where is he going to go? And I meet him. So let me tell you my egg story. Okay, my egg story was, I try to be very, very welcoming to Aniyah when they come to my door. I don't really have a lot of money to give, but I try to compensate for it by just being embracing. If they want something to eat, if they needed a telephone before there were cell phones, bathrooms, whatever, just try to do my best to make them feel like I'm restoring their dignity. And something to work on, and we'll talk about that this year, Mirtz Hashem, as well. And once, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I was about to go to America to interview some boys for Yeshiva at Harutz Zion. Maybe some of you have read that, who was on the docket that year. And I was taking a shower. It was a stormy winter night. And I was taking a shower. Before you get on a plane, you want to shower. And all of a sudden, my kids, now my daughters are married, Baruch Hashem, parents of their own, but they were younger, pre-adolescent girls or early adolescent girls. And I was in the shower, and they said, but there's someone at the door. They said, tell them to come back later or something. And I heard from the shower that the person at the door is becoming very assertive with my daughters. Let me in. I want some money. Where's your father? Can you give me money? Whatever. And in my mind, all of a sudden, the wheels started to turn. These are my little girls. My wife wasn't home. What's going to happen? I'm in the shower. They're vulnerable. Who knows what this person is? I mean, there's some people that come to my house and they're not all together there. So I screamed at the top of my lungs from the shower. I said, get out of this house right now. Or like really, in a way, as aggressive as I could be in the shower. You know, put my rubber ducky down. I think, get out of the shower. Get out of the house right now. Squeak! Oh, I mean the squeak part. Delete the squeak. Okay. So then I realized, my goodness, this guy could be legit. And I just came to know I'm never going to see him again. So all of a sudden, my rabbi, I have to go to some grave with 10 people. Run out of the shower, put a towel around my body, put on my parka because it was my overcoat because it was the middle of the winter, run down the block in my bathrobe, my little towel, and I... Baruch Hashem caught the guy at the end of the block, and I just said, I just want to apologize. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I just was worried about my daughters. I'm going on a plane. Come back. This is when I come back. I'll be happy to give you money because it turned out he was a legitimate person. I insulted him unnecessarily. Okay, so I'll be running around down the street, Archimedes style, in bedrooms, okay? That's only loony people like me. Normal people, first of all, don't get to that stage. Second of all, there's something called underwear, but I couldn't spare the extra 2 seconds, so I dropped that idea. But seriously, you don't want to TMI too much. Seriously, you don't want to be them. You don't want. Anyway, so you can send HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can use the word Lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the most gut-wrenching prakim in all of Tanakh is in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, where Nasan HaNavi walks into David, and he looks at him, and he talks to him. He says, David, just own it. You're an adulterer. Don't make excuses. Don't justify. It's you. Sometimes it's hard to say it's you. You read about the fabled sinners, and you read about so much of this transformation this year. Is now it's you guys. You're not on the sidelines anymore. I'll talk about this maybe later. Now it's your life, and you're not reading about other people. It's not about the adults, and you're sitting and looking at them. Now you're adults. Now this is your life, and now this is you're scripting who you are, and you're scripting your identity, your sins, and when you fail, it's about you, not about the adults that we read about and still talked about. It's an important shift. And now it's the you, not the them. And David HaMelech says two words, Chatasi Lashem. He uses that Lashem, and he just stops. And if you look at the parak in Tanakh, there's actually a break in the parsha in the middle of the sentence, because David has nothing to say. He can't say anything. He's overcome with grief, and the parsha ends in midstream, and then the sentence picks up after the parsha, Chatasi Lashem, and then he begins to write to Hillel and perform his kapara. So, yes, there is a form of chait that affects Hashem and that can be captured by chatasi l'Hashem. But the Rav said, the real drama of chait is not captured by lecha, but chatasi lifnei. Let me tell you the worst repercussion of chait. It's not an onesh. It's not thunderbolts and lightning. It's not gehenim. It's simply to be distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is the worst fate that can apply to a human being, to be far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a chait separates. A chait creates confusion and chaos and static and distance and barriers and Hashem. And chatasi lefnei Hashem, chayv lesvados lefnei Hashem, to the Rav meant, if you're looking for two pieces in Al HaTshuva to read, I've recommended Al HaTshuva, but if you're looking for the two most important pieces, it's this one, as well as the one distinguishing between kapara and between tahara. That's also a very seminal one. Those are the two most important. So let me read the Rambam's language in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva. And the Rambam, after he describes the halachas of tshuva, he has a poem to tshuva. He says, "Gedola tshuva shemekareves es haadam l'shchina shenemar tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha." The Rambam is quoting the drasha in the Gemara of Yoma, Amar Rav Yochanan, "Gedola tshuva shemagas ad kisei hakavod." The target of tshuva is not moral inventory and moral repair and cleansing. The target of tshuva is to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes in Yom Kippur, I feel my most authentic moment of Yom Kippur is when I reach a stage and I say, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If I'm really honest with myself, if you're really, really honest, you break it down to the bone, I'm not here davening for myself, for my life. I'll talk about some of the other things I daven for, but I want to be with you. And I'll tell you what, you decide where that should be. It's your call. In Shemayim or here. If it's really, really not about you and your ego, if you really just want to be at that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's what you're davening for. Does it really make a difference? Now, I've got unfinished business on this earth, so please let me finish it on your behalf. I want to continue raising my family. I want to continue being a good husband. I want to continue teaching Torah. I want to continue building the state of Israel. But it's really all about being with you at Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what I really want. And that give me that. And then we'll work out the details later. Then we'll see where. Okay, it's hard to reach that and always reach it honestly, but if you really are honest with yourself, then everything else is just me. Right? I want to live so I can. Again, everyone has their ego to deal with and their self, their self-interest. Self-interest is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants in us to make us preservationists and to make us accomplish. So Gedola Tshuva Shemekareves Es HaAdam L'Shechina. Listen to the Rambam's language. Hatshuva mekareves es harachokim. Tshuva takes people who are distant. That's what the word tshuva means. If you're looking for a straight definition of the word tshuva, it does not mean repair. It does not mean atonement. It does not mean penitence. It does not mean forgiveness. It means returning. So you can describe it psychologically, returning to a former self, but it's basically returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shuv Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Ki chashalta ba'avodecha. It's basically repairing a relationship. Going from a distant point to a closer point. Going from barriers to proximity. Emesh, this is a very sad Rambam. Hayezeh sanri lefnei amakom. Yesterday you were hated by Hashem. Meshukatz, you were sheketz, meruchak, toeva. Can you imagine if Hashem looks at you and sees a sheketz or sees a toeva? It's a hard place to be. Hashem looks at you. We say, Kohanim say, Yirech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yirech Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. We want Hashem to smile at us when He looks at us. You like when people smile at you, right? When people are annoyed with you, it's hard for you to handle. We want Hashem to be happy with us. What happens when we feel like Hashem isn't really so happy with us? And is disgusted with us and contempts us because of our behavior. V'hayom, and I keep telling you, it's not a long process, it's just today. And all of a sudden there's a turnaround. Emesh en hayom, hu ahuv, v'nechmad, you're loved by Hashem, you're coveted by Hashem, karov, you're close, v'yidid. That's how the Rav explained lifnei Hashem. And that's one of the three or four transformations of tshuva that I'd like to see people begin to work on. Don't get caught up only in the chayt and the kapara, and what I did wrong, and how can I get kapara, and if there were a magic kapara pill, say there were magic, there's a good test for people, okay? Let's say there were magic kapara. Now let me give you two tests, okay? This is going to sound strange, but this is a broad stroke goal. When you're young, okay, be honest, and it's probably still true. Hopefully it won't be true after this year. When you're young, what's the best day of the year, and what's the worst day of the year, aside from your birthday? When you're young, the best day of the year is Yud Aleph Tishrei. I got a whole year. So you got a double day. A whole, so you don't count for this test. But come on, guys, honest. Don't tell. I got a whole year till I have to fast and pray and go to shul and hours and go through that and all the tension. I got a whole year of football and sports and friends. I don't have to do the Yom Kippur thing. I did it already. A whole year. Don't laugh. And the worst day is Tes Tishrei. Oh my goodness, it's here. I got it. I'm a good guy. I'm going to be in Shalom Kippur. I'd rather not, but here it is. Here's the day. But Yud Aleph Tishrei, that is the day. And then Purim time comes, you get a little edgy. It's getting closer, and Pesach, and Tisha B'Av, and Slichos, and OMG, it's coming. I promise you, when you're religiously mature, the script is flipped. My happiest day of the year is Tes Tishrei. Happiest day of the year. I'm so psyched. I'm so excited to walk away from this world for a day and be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and taste my eternity, because that's what Yom Kippur is about. It's about the closest I'm going to come to Olam Haba. I don't have to eat. I don't have to drink. I don't have to sleep. I don't have to talk and be with Hashem. I don't have to worry about sports and pettiness. I just get away. Just be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One day get away to the Bahamas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the heavenly Bahamas. And my saddest day, I'm really, really in a bad mood. You don't want to call me on this day. My saddest day is like, I'm never really angry. I'm always like melancholy. It's like the day after Yom Kippur. I wish I could be in some other place. I have to be in this world. Okay, I'll deal with it. I'll have to deal with it. Because like, it's so great to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I've got a davening suffers and not having kavan anymore. It's just a 48-hour turnaround. And part of that is the pill. If I gave you a kapara pill, okay, I think I have a pill. I've had a headache this week, so I took some aspirin. On Wednesday, I put it in my pocket and didn't get a chance to take it yet, but it's still there, so it's helping. It's like a placebo effect. So here's the pill, guys, okay? You take this pill, instant kapara. All your sins, whitewashed, cleansed, the reboot, the delete button. Two things. Control A, delete. Okay, two pills. This is a control A pill. You select them all. This is the delete pill. It all deleted. Oh yeah, done it. I'm free. No more Yom Kippur, right? Hey, Rabbi, done it. Right? Where can I get those pills? That's such a small, insignificant part of this process. Not about your slate and your delete and your files and it's really about Kodesh Baruch Hu. You haven't really done anything. You're not close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. You haven't really rebuilt that relationship. You know. So it's hard. That's what we're trying to do in this room. Make your Bona Shalom more palpable. Make him part of your day to day, and hopefully this is part of it. Over the course of the year, this will start to resonate a little more deeply. So that's the second idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Just again to remind ourselves, we've talked about three issues this week of Tshuva, mostly based on Rabbi Soloveitchik. One is the role of Vidui. One is the role of praying for the right to do Tshuva, not seeing it as a license, something you deserve. Today about the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Again, these are all based on the Rambam. Highly recommend to do the Rambam. Highly recommended to read Ala Tshuva. Highly recommended to read Rav Amital's Eight Ratzon, When God Is Near. These are some nice ways to put yourself into play for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay, now on to the main event. Now on to the Ramban and our basic nesses. Let's roll up our sleeves. No more kiddie pool. No more training wheels. Let's get into this Ramban. Okay? This is our second big Ramban we've seen, if I'm not mistaken. So the Ramban in Hezekiah and Nantes. So a lot of other small Rambans, but this is the second large Ramban. Megillah, Chafei Amud Beis. Let's get into it. Okay?